Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Here we are, Sunday night, getting ready for Monday. And before we hit the TGIM feel, let's kind of wrap up next week. I want to get you ready for the chit chat in the office, so you're prepared. You know, do you talk politics with your coworkers? You know, well, I do. I do. But it's tricky. It's a tricky thing to navigate. So, it is. So I always when I start to get into an uncomfortable political discussion, I can sense that the other person's squirming. I always stop it and I say, let's talk about religion now. Because I figure, you know, I mean, I figure I want to hit them all. So, so, you know, my wife's family's from Utah, and there's a really lovely zoo there that was in the news last week. You may not have caught this because it's a very local news story, but imagine you're visiting a zoo, and suddenly they tell you, sir, you must leave. Take your children and your family with you because the leopard has escaped. And that is exactly what happened here. A leopard escaped her enclosure. Apparently, she scaled a fence. And the best part, I love the... zookeepers determined that she had climbed the fence because... quote unquote, a large quantity of fur was found on the mesh. That's brilliant. I want to know who came. How did they figure? I'm glad they put that in the news story. So the leopard's on the loose for 30 minutes. Can't find her. They finally discover her sleeping on a high beam about 15 feet in the air. Just fell asleep while they're evacuating the whole zoo. I don't know. I think that could be pretty scary. So just, you know, always be on the lookout. And if you see people running or being pushed in a zoo, just move out of the way. Keep moving. And, yeah, it's a dangerous place to be. And also, hold on to your kids. Can you imagine? I don't know. Don't, if your kids are playing and horsing around an exhibit and there's some dangerous animal down below, just hold on to your kid. That's still such a sad story. Okay. Not every rogue animal causes no problems. This story out of Kenya. Apparently, Kenya experienced a nationwide blackout when a rogue monkey fell into a crucial piece of equipment. Yes, a rogue monkey killed the entire Kenyan power grid. Kaput! Monkey fell on a transformer at a hydroelectric power station and completely tripped the whole circuit, resulting in the loss of 180 megawatts of power, which triggered a blackout across all of Kenya. Now, I'm no electrical engineer. I think 180 megawatts is what powers one Walmart in California on a hot summer day. But in Africa, it powers the whole country. So the monkey survived, I know you're curious, survived and was taken by the Kenyan Wildlife Service to be repatriated into the wild. You know, I read the story, and on the same day that I read the story, I get a maintenance power outage from SCE. I live in an SCE area. Fortunately, not the DWP. You know, they're supposed to send you a notice. If they're going to have a planned outage, they have to let you know. And so apparently my house will have a planned outage for about 4 hours. But if you live in LA and you've got the DWP, expect it to rain rogue monkeys down on you all summer long. And you have Porter Ranch to thank for this. If you haven't been following the story, so you know the Porter Ranch gas leak, all that stuff going on. But it turns out that a significant portion of power, of electric power, generated in LA County is generated with the use of natural gas generators. So they use natural gas to create electricity. So not only are we low on natural gas, which you'd think would be okay kind of going into summer because it's hotter months, we're not using natural gas we tend to use for heat. No, we're still screwed, right? Because now, there's going to be all these blackouts. So they estimate, and you know, these estimates are always, we always know these are full of crap, right? Full of crap. They say up to 14, maybe 18 to, 14 days of outages across the summer. And it's going to be like 20, 25. So it's going to be, and it's a big deal. We're probably going to have a hot summer, and people without their air conditionings, it's going to be tough. So just be sure to look out for those DWP notices. They're going to send stuff in the mail, and those are the days to go to Orange County. Just go down to Orange County, go find a nice big shopping mall, find a nice Walmart, and just hang out and in some cold, or just, go to the pool. But, well, what's that? If they hear what? Well, that's true. I mean, just stay cool, especially on those outage days. All right, so where are we? Where are we last week with all this political talk? If you missed Saturday's show, we talked about the judge, about the Donald Trump thing, and I had some interesting things, I think, to say about it. So if you just go to, the podcast is up, go to samnation.com and get that podcast, download it, a lot of good stuff. It's just 2 hours of your week. You can make time, and you can really take us with you anywhere. We're that easy. So just download it, get it set up on your iPod, iPhone, whatever it is that you use, and get our podcasts. Oh my goodness, Hillary. So Hillary now is a presumptive nominee. What do you think? It was kind of a non-event. That's my first take on it. You'd think that this protracted fight would result in some epochal giant moment of reckoning. And instead, what happens? She wins. Look, Lily, she did really well on Tuesday. You know, the narrative Tuesday morning was, I don't know what she's going to win, but regardless of how she does, she's still the nominee. And that the results of the race were just purely about optics. Well, it's more than that. She goes into the race. She wins California, which while she didn't need the delegates, it was a really important optics victory for her. You can't be the Democratic nominee and then lose in a major blue state. That's bad. That's bad. And she didn't. And not only that, she beat expectations by double digits. So here she comes. She comes out of this. And Bernie, I got to tell you, I get that he doesn't want to give up. He's got Bernie. I always said he's a crazy Uncle Bernie. He's the guy, he's the guy, the family, the uncle that comes to all the reunions and he rants and he raves. And he's got, the small number of cousins that all think his stories are really entertaining. And all the adults at the table are kind of waving their hands at him. But the reality is he got a large number of votes. And what is it? It's like he got 12 million votes and Hillary got 15 or 16, something like that. So he's got 40%. He earned something around 40% of all the votes cast in the Democratic primary so far. And here is the quintessential millennial move. I lost, but I still deserve something. I came so close. And where's my pat on the back? Right? It doesn't matter if you lose by 10%, by 5%, by 1%, by 2 votes. Hot dang it. I mean, where were you as a student rep in high school? Remember those elections? Did you ever run for one of those races? You'd lose by 2 votes. That's what would happen. Oh, but I still want to have a say. No, you bloody lost. That's it. You're the loser. Okay? So now what? You want to go get your participation trophy? Well, not from this program, you don't. Because we don't give those out here, do we? That's what this Bernie thing is all about. This guy is such a capital a-hole, I have no words for it. One, he loses. He can't claim that the process is rigged. He can't, because these rules were set up. These were the same rules that defeated Hillary. The rules have not changed. The fact of the matter is, the way the Democratic Party is set up, you have to not just woo the voters, but you have to woo the superdelegates. And Hillary outwooed Bernie. That's it. She outwooed him. And you can cry about the thing about the whole thing right now about Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's the Democratic National Committee chair. And she is just a hideous person inside and out. But that's just me talking. But you know who agrees with me is Bernie. Because he thinks that she's just the most abominable, unfair, in the tank for Hillary person steering this process to help Hillary from the beginning. Okay, fine. So what does the loser do? He goes, he meets with Obama, and demands, one of his demands to Obama last week was that he remove Debbie Wasserman Schultz as DNC chair. And here's the threat. This is crazy. I will not help bring the party together. I will not throw my efforts and hat into party unity unless I get my way. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that how it works? I mean, since when do you get to dictate terms simply on the basis that you got 40% of the vote? Hillary, forget the superdelegates for a minute. Can we just leave that out of the conversation? Even though to my first point that the rules were the same rules, okay? Hillary won the popular vote. She won the popular vote. And here you just want your boohoo prize. I wanted my okay. It's over. Bernie people, take your stickers off your car. It's done. It's over. You got to hear what's going on at UCI. Yeah, this is great. They're handing out something for babies. You want to know what it is? Good. I'll tell you. Back after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm James Bergener, and I'm listening to Sam Nation right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'm always, always, always pleased when my people get into the news. I was once a college Republican, member of the College Republican Club at UC Irvine. So I shout out to our president, Brian Zutel. Those were the good old days. This was, oh my gosh, 1998. Time flies. My friends, the UCI College Republicans, are back in the news. This off of Breitbart. That's right. They're handing out something to all these safe space demanding millennials. Now, just if you're new to the program, let me explain this to you. There's a big movement on college campuses to provide safe spaces for students. And it's not from physical violence. It's not from anything other than hurt feelings. It's can't use trigger words, can't use, I mean, even things as absurd. We've documented this, the UC Regents coming out with absurd guidelines like don't use the phrase anyone can succeed in America, because that phrase in and of itself is a microaggression. Now, if you are scratching your heads, go, the first time I'm hearing this microaggression nonsense, good. You're a sane person. It's just little stuff that bothers you. That's what a microaggression is. There, I just translated it for you. Little stuff that bothers you. My son came home last week, and he says, I am hurt by what my friend said to me. His friend made some comment to him, and in fact, it's actually more than that. The friend's been kind of, he's been kind of a little bit of a jerk to Daniel. And I get it. I hear him out and I listen to it and I go, well, it's a jerky thing. I've actually heard the kid say it, say some stuff. Now, it's important to note what's your first reaction as a parent? Well, you love your kids, so you want to protect them from it. But I love my kid enough to want to teach him how to protect himself from it. Because what do I, first thing I tell him is I say, look, there are people who are going to say mean things to you in life. All life long, you're going to hear mean things from people. You're going to hear mean things from strangers. You're going to hear mean things from your friends. You're even going to hear mean things on occasion from the people that are close to you and people that you love. If you've been in a long-term relationship, chances are your significant other has said something mean to you. And to demand safe spaces in any context is just absurd. Because you've got to learn how to deal. And this thing has to start from an early age. So what do I tell Daniel, you just deal with it. Listen, if he says something mean to you, say, hey, I don't like it when you say that, and walk away. And if he keeps saying that to him, just don't be his friend. There are other people to be friends with. You have to, this is important. And so, but now school's really, yesterday, to download the podcast, we talked about that crazy school kid gets sentenced to 5 detentions in New Jersey because he calls some vegetarian kid. He tells him your brains would be bigger if you ate meat. You should eat meat. He gets sentenced to 5 detentions because what he says was, what he said to this kid was harassment. Absurd. The more and more that this gets ingrained in our schools. And then I always say, the critical time in a young person's brain is when they're that adult junior, that little adult. I just turned 18. I've got some, you know, I'm out of the house. I just moved to college. And this is where life ought to start smacking you in the face. Because this is where you go from being a child living in your parents' house to developing into an adult that can fend for herself or himself. There it is. That's what you want. So UCI has these safe zones, safe places, and they've got Milo. You know this guy, Milo Yiannopoulos, and he's got this tour going on, where you know he's a gay guy, he's a libertarian, and he's totally against any kind of political correctness. So he's just turning everything. I mean, he's having these talks. He's going around college campuses and he's talking exactly about the things that we talk about on this program. And they're protesting. He's coming to UCI, and UCI is setting up a safe space to protect students from it. So what are the UCI College Republicans doing? Well, they're handing out baby pacifiers. Yes, actual baby pacifiers. Why? Well, it's brilliant. We ought to start handing out, you know, we ought to hand out some baby pacifiers to some listeners. Some of our angry people that call in and write us, we ought to send out baby pacifiers. They basically are there. They distributed 100 infant baby pacifiers at a school administration directed safe zone training event. Can you imagine? Imagine that you happen to be that one person who has a normal thinking brain, but can't say it out loud and works inside of a school like UCI, inside their administration office. And you get called to a safe zone training event. Oh my gosh, how tortuous must that be? All the buzzwords that they use. I mean, and here's the college Republicans made a great point. And that is they actually cited Obama back in 2015 said, and this is a quote, "I don't agree that you, when you become students at colleges, have to be coddled and protected from different points of view." And he said this Obama said this at a town hall meeting in Des Moines, Iowa. And what was it, 2015? So, wow. Find a rare point of agreement with President Obama on a point, but he's absolutely right. College needs to be a place where you have extreme opinions clashing, where people figure out what they believe, why they believe it, to be challenged. And instead, it's long been, this is a process that didn't just start yesterday, but it's slowly been turned into this ditto machine for creating liberal, coddled, just non-thinking clones that then enter the world and have no way to cope with any kind of dissent, any kind of conflict, any kind of confrontation. And you know, life is about that. So it just, you know, there's more, there's constantly more and more of this kind of nonsense that's coming out. Like in Yale, they want the Yale students just one of the best universities in the world. And students are trying to abolish oppressive courses. They claim are oppressive because they have white poets like Shakespeare. That's right. So, you know, I mean, how did you learn English? I mean, I know what it was. I mean, I'm looking at this news and it's coming out, and I mean, as early as high school, we were studying Shakespeare and Chaucer. You know, The Pardoner's Tale. This is a classic part of Western civ. And most importantly, these works are foundational to understanding the English language. So, what you have, I mean, these students are basically complaining that Shakespeare should be out, Chaucer should be out, okay? People like Alexander Pope, William Wordsworth, T.S. Eliot, all out, okay? Because they want to decolonize the curriculum to ensure students do not have to endure the harm created by a year spent around a seminar table where the literary contributions of women, people of color, and queer folk are absent. This kind of always goes to speak for what we were talking about on Saturday, yesterday about race and some of these, you know, some of the stuff. It's now widely recognized that maybe Tchaikovsky was gay. Now, do we study, if you're a student of music, do you study Tchaikovsky, the famous Russian composer? And if you don't know his name, you've heard his music. I mean, Nutcracker is some of the most famous music there is. And around Christmas time, every Christmas movie has Tchaikovsky in it. Do students of music study, learn how to play, perform Tchaikovsky because he was gay or because he was a great composer? Of course, it's because he was a great composer. You know, the students are also saying they want to hear from people who had disabilities. I mean, I'm going to carry them. I mean, have you heard of Beethoven? You know what his disability was? He was deaf. Okay? Do we go, oh, well, I'm into people without disabilities, and I just want to hear from, I mean, I just, that music was, now that I hear that he was disabled, I mean, he was a deaf composer. But we don't discount what he did. It's just, this is so absurd. So coming back, I want to talk about this just a little bit more and talk about what this generation, there's a new name for this generation. Not just millennials, there's a new name. And I love it. I love it. It's good. This is a page turner in the history of the program. Back after this. Sam Rudjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
And welcome back to the program. Sam Rudjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And imagine this for a minute, if you can. You're driving along, everything's fine, everything hunky-dory, when all of a sudden a rogue monkey jumps into a transformer near you, blows out the electric power grid. Well, it happened. I was talking about it earlier. It happened in Kenya. Blows out the electric power grid. The lights, right? Controlled intersection, lights go off, you know, dark as can be. Traffic gets snarled, and all of a sudden, smash, somebody rear-ends you. They should have been paying attention. Rogue monkey or not, they should have been paying attention, and they did not do so. And they're there. Just smashed your car to smithereens. And what do? Get out, you're hurt, you start feeling some pain. You go, oh my gosh, what do I? And you're immediately overwhelmed. Don't, whatever you do, please don't call the insurance company. Don't hassle with them. All they want to do is identify they want to find whatever, the smallest amount of money that they can offer you to make you go away. And you don't want that, okay? You don't want that. You don't want them hassling you for that. What you want to do, and you want to call my friend, Attorney James Bergener. His friends call him, as we do here on the program, Sweet James. That's right. And you know why? Because he takes care of people. He takes care of listeners that call in from the show. He will make sure, and he'll protect you from the insurance company, from all their nonsense. And, you know, don't be fooled by all these imitators. There's all these guys right now that are advertising. They're talking about how great they are. And they're just fly-by-night people. Please go with the name that is trusted. Sweet James Bergener, 1-800-881-2021. Give him a call, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right. There is a fantastic article out discussing exactly this issue with these millennials. You know, we always talk about how this is a millennial free zone, but I realize that some of you might have a millennial or two in the car with you. And the show comes on, you're just going to have to tell them earmuffs. I think that's, you know, maybe instead of pacifiers like the UCI College Republicans are handing out for safe zone areas for all the millennials out there who need to be babied and coddled. We should pass out earmuffs on this program so that you as a listener, if you're an adult and you've got, you know, your kids talking about Bernie Sanders and you just want to beat it out of him. Say, listen, I'm going to listen to Sam Nation here, Junior. Put the earmuffs on. Should be standard equipment in your car. Well, anyway, so this is great. This is a terrific article talking about why today's women, and I'm all extended out. I'll extend this out to men as well, are so feeble because we have been protecting the whole premise of this article here. Is that we've been, and it's in the Daily Mail, is that the whole premise is that we've just been over-coddling our young people. And I talked last segment about my kid, his experience in school, and how, you know, every kid comes to you, and if you're a parent, you have talked to your child about their hurt feelings. And the right thing to say, in my opinion, is get over it. Deal with it. Assert yourself. And if that person continues to be mean, move away. You know, there is such a thing as bullying. But bullying is, how do you define it? Isn't that the real question? How do you define bullying? And if you define bullying as the expression of an unkind comment directed from one person toward another, and you protect by law and by policy little kids from getting bullied, quote unquote. Let me put a different way. Little kids if you protect them from having unkind things said to them. Okay? What are you doing? You're completely failing to protect these kids from preparing them for adulthood. Because yeah, I always say this, life is unkind. So at any rate, I mean, they talk about this, you know, and they talk about this in this article. They got this great term, Generation Snowflake. It's a term for these teens. It's used commonly in the U.S. I did not, sometimes you learn something new. I didn't know this. It describes a fragile, thin-skinned younger generation that can't cope with conflicting views, let alone criticism. And this jogged my thoughts, my memory on where did this whole safe space thing come from? Where did it come from? And I trace it back to when I was a kid in the 80s. Because back then, it was already starting. It was seeping into schools. And what was it? You remember this? You remember what the movement was all about with the whole zeitgeist of education and child rearing? Do you remember what it was? Self-esteem. Remember that? Now, here's what my mom said about the self-esteem movement when I came home and I told her that she needed to help me with my self-esteem. Well, I can't tell you what my mom said because I can't say it on the radio. But it involved a swear word or two. And yeah, she told me to literally go myself. Now, did she say that because she's a wicked woman? Or did she say it because she was a good parent with her head screwed on straight? I am so grateful. I can't express it enough that I had parents who had so many administrators and teachers and people at school give them the world's crappiest advice on how to raise me. And at every turn, my parents thought about it for less than a second and just brushed it off and did their own thing. That is, when I look back at what I was given as a kid, that is everything. Because it started, my generation was the first really coddled generation. People who were, where in schools they began telling, we've really got to consider the feelings of the child. The kid's feelings. I mean, you know, we want to give compliments. Remember this lovely phrase, positive reinforcements. You know, my parents came from a world of negative reinforcements. You did something wrong, you got smacked. That's it. It's an immediate reaction. There were punishments for doing things wrong. Now, guess what? What's real life like? Aren't there punishments for doing things wrong? I mean, I'm not talking about just big stuff, you know, murder. I'm talking, you know, you file your taxes late. You get dinged with a penalty, don't you? If you don't pay a bill on time, that's it. You get a 30-day late. Doesn't matter. It was on the 31st day that I paid it. Wah. Yeah, no one's going to care. When it comes to your credit report, just throwing this out as one example, you can't unring the bell. Life is all about negative consequences. And there's some positive ones too, of course. You know, you work hard and there's a result. You show up to work for 2 weeks, you get a paycheck. But life is full of negative consequences, and to pretend that it is not is so foolhardy. And it started in the 80s, and now we're getting to the point where you cannot say anything to kids anymore. And it's the result is devastating. And so Generation Snowflake, the next round in silliness. And yeah, I'm telling you, I think this is where a lot of politically correct, this is where the boundary of where political correctness kind of meets. Yeah, this is, it was a big politically correct movement when I remember when I was younger about these good feelings and positive reinforcement and building kids up. And I had a friend, this is interesting. I had a friend whose parents were totally all in on this. It was all, let's make his self-esteem strong. Let's help him with his self-esteem. When he got bad grades, he didn't get into trouble. He got a hug. When I got a bad grade, my mom kicked me once. She actually kicked me. And folks, she wore clogs. That hurt. So, and then, you know, we would get in trouble, this kid and I. We'd always get in trouble together. I'd get grounded. I'd have stuff, privileges taken away. And he never did. And I was so jealous growing up. Oh my gosh, I was so jealous. And in the end, I am nothing but grateful because he is a total life loser. He is. I'm out of touch with him now, so maybe in the last 4 or 5 years, something has changed. But as of 5 years ago, a life loser. And it's sad. So, this program, I've got to tell you, we celebrate consequences here. And one of those things, I'll tell you, elections have consequences. Let's round this off with some thoughts on Hillary. How about this Armani jacket? Do you know that she has an Armani jacket that's 12 grand? Did you know this? How much have you spent for a jacket? I don't know. Let's talk about this back in a minute. Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Attorney James Bergener. I get the best news and information for the week from Sam Nation every weekend on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Generation Snowflake. Moving in a fast and furious fashion, we talked about it last segment, at Yale University, demanding that the school abolish racist, white-centered, able-bodied, straight, old white men. Did I say white twice? I think I did. White men who wrote poems and literature. Oh, you know what? Yeah. They just don't want to spend a year studying stuff that wasn't written by women, people of color, and queer folk. And that's a quote. You know, remember, did you study Shakespeare in school? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I studied it all in school. I remember, so we had to memorize Shakespeare poems. Like, there's all the sonnets. He had all these numbered sonnets. Sonnet 18, I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May. And so on and so forth. Now, look, if that strikes you as racist or white, yeah, it's, I mean, literally, this probably is a microaggression. If you're a snowflake. Well, you know, so I was like, I thought, okay, so what, you know, the most prominent minority poet that I can think of, made famous by, what did she do for Bill Clinton during his inauguration? Didn't she declared, this is right, Maya Angelou declared that Bill Clinton was the first black president. Didn't she? No, didn't she say something like that? Look it up, Robbie. I mean, trust me on this. She said something along those lines. But at any rate, have you read any of her poetry? Have you? I mean, you've heard of her. So If Shakespeare is overtly racist, and I'm not criticizing this, I'm just pointing something out. If Shakespeare, according to these snowflake Yale students, these millennials, crybabies, need pacifiers, kids, demanding that the curriculum be more diversified. Here's a poem by Maya Angelou, title of which is Mama Welfare Roll. Her arms, semaphore fat triangles, pudgy hands bunched on layered hips, where bones idle under years of fatback and lima beans. Not going to read the whole thing, but I mean, I don't know. This is there's more racialist language in this poem than there is in Shakespeare. And I know the argument. I get it. I have gone to college, so I understand that it's perspective and that this is diversity and this is a voice and its expression. And I'm okay with that. The thing is I read this stuff, but I also read Shakespeare. The demand to clear the curriculum of Shakespeare and only read stuff written by, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, oh, it was Tony. Well, all right, I stand corrected. On the Bill Clinton thing, it was Toni Morrison that claimed that Bill Clinton was the first black president. But Maya Angelou read a poem at his inauguration. Yeah. But my point was that you go to college and take a class. I mean, I took a Latina literature class, a Latina literature class as a white guy. Why? I wanted to hear it. I was interested. But can you imagine graduating from Yale and never reading any Shakespeare? And just reading Toni Morrison or Maya Angelou or whomever? That's not bad. It's an absurdity. It's an absurdity. So, snowflakes on the move. I wasn't at home, but my daughter Vera, who is five, apparently was working hard on my show prep, because on what was it, Tuesday night, election night, I get a text from my wife, and the text reads, "I hate to throw Vera like, I mean she's five, so please forgive her. I just turned on this quote." Well, this is my wife's text to me. "I just turned on the news to see election results. Hillary was giving her victory speech. Vera asked at least three times, quote, 'Is that a girl?' From the mouth of babes." Well, you know, it actually raises a pretty damn valid point, which is that millennial women give about zero you-know-whats that Hillary Clinton is a woman. Do you know that? They don't care. Yeah, Hillary's pushing this whole thing, I'm a female president thing. And yeah, I don't think it's falling on deaf ears. Certainly if she's courting the Bernie crowd, the millennial crowd, snowflakes are not melting over this. They don't care. Nick Gillespie writes this piece about this. You know, this odds are good that she'll become the next president. So, Nick, you're smoking I don't know what, because I don't know what odds. Just trust me on this, Nick. You're gonna eat this article. But, you know, and yet young women just don't seem to care anything that, you know, and in fact, he also points out here, statistically, older feminists don't care either. This is... Well, and I'm not saying it's because they don't think she's a woman. No, that's not what I'm saying. No. You know, Democratic millennials, you know what they, you know what Gillespie calls them? He calls them voter brats. That's the Bernie crowd, the voter brats. Rhymes with Democrats, but voter brats. And I think there's something to that. I think that there's a faction within the Democratic Party that does look down on these people. These people being this younger kind of generation that's been wildly flocking to Bernie. Because We have, you know, the two-party system in America, okay, the two-party, within each party, there are factions. You know, you don't, one out of two parties can't possibly represent, you know, one way of thinking. You've got, it's a big tent party. And there are older people who understand that what Bernie's doing was just promising free stuff left and right, and that these voter brats are just there to pick it all up. But the point being about Hillary, the point being all Hillary, is that they just don't care. And it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue for her because this is what she's running on. Trump is mean and nasty. And I'm a woman and I am going to make history. Did you listen to the speech? Because I did. I didn't see it. I listened to it. I was driving and I was listening to it on the radio. Well, we'll get to that. But I listened to the speech and what did she say? You can't see it here, but we are standing below a glass ceiling. And we've debunked this on the program. The whole concept of a glass ceiling in women, it's every year that goes by, it's a more and more ridiculous assertion. So for Hillary to get up and do this whole Seneca Falls bit about the foundations of the women's suffrage movement and equal rights and da 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 da. You know, what we kind of care about right now, Hillary, is, you know, national security and the economy. And, you know, a whole lot of us care about that little border here between us and Mexico and making sure that it's not completely porous. There are bigger issues than making history. And I tell you, know what my opinion is on this? And, you know, I you're tuning in. My opinion is that we had a first black president. That's the thing. Oh, the Obama presidency was so historic and such a, I mean, the concept. The first woman president is not as cool now that we've had a first black president. And you know what? The thing is we're over it now. we've done it. We've had this big thing and it was okay. A lot of us don't like him. A lot of us do. It is what it is. We don't really think of him as being black. He's the president and he's a liberal left-wing guy and that's it. But the thing about it is that if Hillary's running on this, she's running on this, it's not a good thing. But the real crazy stuff, she's the king of the pantsuit, right? She's the pantsuit aficionado. That's Hillary's thing. She's got this jacket that she wore to a thing. So if you're a millennial, she's trying to capture you. She goes and she talks about income inequality. And she shows up wearing a $12,000 Armani jacket. And the media begin to report on this, and they report, you know, well, this is a, did she have on a $12,000 Armani jacket? And there's all this talk and scuttlebutt going back and forth. And here, this is always a great reminder to see how things are shaped in the media. Snopes, the website that debunks rumors, can't debunk that rumor, right? They can't debunk it. So what do? They changed the wording to Hillary purchased a $12,000 jacket and then say mostly false. They changed the wording of the question that is being asked just so they can debunk it and turn it down. Just one example, just giving you one example of where this program keeps you on the straight and narrow. Yes, she had a very expensive jacket. She had a very expensive jacket on. And it's just, I don't know. It's just part of the whole thing. She's not a genuine. No, she's not genuine. You know, you can't arguing that Hillary is fundamentally honest and trustworthy, and it's just a giant act. I mean, it's just a giant act. Well, I'll tell you what's not an act. This program. I love being here. So, samnation.com. Go to the website. Get all of our Instagram, Twitter info. We're there 24/7. Download the podcast, too. If you've missed any part of it, just download it. See you here next week. Later this week, excuse me, Saturday, 3 p.m. Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.